All right. Hello and welcome. It's such a joy to be with you guys this December 14th already, 2015. This is Jessica Stewart, and I am with the October 2015 cohort. This is Section 2, and today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, which is the mind-body connection. I wish I had like a reverberation tool that could really make that sound. Mind-body connection. Alas, I do not, so I'll have to pretend. I'm really happy to be here with you because understanding and making sense of the mind-body connection was really a salvation for me in many ways. It really changed my life. And I hope for those of you that are intrigued by it or interested in it or even not intrigued by it, that it will create some insight that you hadn't had previous to learning about it or to exploring it. So just as a reminder, if you are moving around or having background noise, if you want to do 4-star and then when we have conversation, you can unmute yourself and we can have a good talk then. But so before we get started into really talking about this class and the material, I like to do a way for me to check to see who's on the line, but also to get your voices in the room and get you into this present moment. So I'm going to call a name, and I'm going to ask you to do what I like to call a one-word check-in. So a one-word check-in, it can be a word or a sound that describes your current state. It's a reminder for those who are muted, you'll need to unmute yourself, but it's just one word as to where you are in this moment right now, or a sound. Some people do a sound. So I'm going to start calling names, and if you can just share your word or your sound, that'd be great. So Katrina, are you here? All right. Rachel Billingsley? All right. I'm gonna get lucky one of these times, I swear. Laurel Collins? Okay, Rachel DeBreer?
Yes, anybody? I'm here.
Okay, good. Can you do
Rachel DeBreer?
Sound check.
I would say I'm feeling buzzy.
Okay. Buzzy works. All right. Hope.
I'm here. I am feeling content.
Great. Tessa? Joanna Gonzalez?
Hi, Jessica. I'm here.
Hi. What's a word or a sound?
Curia.
Great. Sarah Greenfield?
Hi. I would say I'm feeling open.
Wonderful. Ada or Aida? I'm not sure which it is. You can correct me.
Aida. Hi, I'm here.
Hey. Hi.
Hi. I'm feeling sick at the moment.
Oh, well, we can create space for sick. No worries.
Okay.
Dee Dee. You're probably muted.
Yeah, I just unmuted. I'm here. I am feeling anxious.
Okay. Well, we'll fix that in a moment. Lisselle.
I am feeling relieved.
Okay. Adrian. Lisa Honnold.
I'm here. I am feeling cozy.
Nice. And Mary Houston. Carrie Holting.
I am here. I am also feeling cozy.
Oh, I love it. Good. Me too.
I have one quick question.
Okay.
What is the unmuting? Muting is 4-star, and what is the unmuting?
It's also 4-star.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Kathleen?
I am here, and I will go with confused.
Okay. Linda Jackson? Catherine Kleiser? Tiffany?
I'm here, and I'm happy.
Yay, I'm happy too. I'm so glad to have you in class. A journey we've been on. Kathy Shaw.
I'm here. I feel relaxed.
Great, great. Nicole.
Yes, I'm here, and I feel really full.
Full. Electra.
I'm here. I'm cold.
Uh-oh, we better get you over to Carrie or Lisa's to get you cozy.
Yes, I know.
And Meg?
I'm here, and I would be present.
And then Kristen?
I'm here, and I'm ready.
Awesome, good. And my one word is, well, it's actually two, settling in. I'm settling in. So thank you so much. As a reminder, if you want to mute or unmute yourself, it's 4-star. And the reason I do that exercise is I actually do it with most, if not all, of my classes, because if it's the first time I've met you, it's a great chance for me to hear your voice, feel your energy, get you into the room. I think it also helps to give people a chance to check in with their own state. You know, it's a wonderful mind-body tool to just help people check in with where they are in this moment right now. And it also helps me know who's on the line very practically. But I use it, too, because it's an example of a tool that you can use if you're leading workshops or groups, telecourses, anywhere there's, you know, more than one person. For you to go around the room and to acknowledge each person, each being, and help them get comfortable with stating or understanding or feeling into where they are in their own body. So it's a great little model for you that you can use. I think it's very simple and also very powerful, because even just by saying out loud where you are, help you actually, you know, if you're feeling cold, maybe it's like, oh, I'm cold. There's an opportunity for me to get a blanket or turn on the heat. Or, you know, it's just a very simple way to actually help you attend to your needs. But also it's a great way for you to begin shifting that energy state. So if something unpleasant is happening in your body, you can find a way to shift it to something more pleasant. So I'm hearing a little bit of background noise. So I'm going to mute a couple of people. If you end up speaking and I don't hear you, that's because I've muted you, just so you know. So before everybody joined, I was asking if everybody had a chance to review the course materials and listen to all of the wonderful recordings. I think they're wonderful. Maybe I'm biased because I was on them, but the call recordings around the mind-body connection. If you haven't had a chance, that's okay. Please stay here. We'll keep talking and learning. But I do want this to be, you know, this is a class. We've already covered most of the curriculum in the call recordings. It's a little bit different than some of your other classes because today is really a very experiential. It's about helping answer questions that you have about the mind-body tools. It's about there'll be some coaching. I'll be doing some coaching and some demoing. But it's really a chance for us to have a very active and lively conversation around the mind-body connection. So I'm not sure if I shared this. Actually, any questions before I move on? Okay. So I want to give you just a little bit of background about who I am. I think I might share a little bit of this in the call recording, but I can't remember. It's been a while. So I've been playing around with the mind-body connection. That sounds so weird when I put it that way. But I've been playing around with the mind-body connection for about 10 years. There's a program in Massachusetts where I live with a man named Herbert Benson, and he wrote a pretty well-known book called The Relaxation Response. And he has an institute here that's now called the Benson Henry Institute. And I was newly engaged and planning my wedding and really struggling in my career, and so I was quite miserable. And for years and years and years, I had had, and I think I mentioned this in recording, I had a pretty serious eating disorder. I was a compulsive overeater. And so I was really disconnected from my body signals for hunger, for emotions. And I was working in a career that I absolutely hated. And so I was getting more and more disconnected because I was really unhappy. I was lacking confidence. I was nervous all the time. And so I consequently started getting sick all the time. I ended up having, developing irritable bowel syndrome. I was having chronic cold sores, canker sores in my mouth. I was getting sick all the time. And it was just because I kept ignoring the larger signals that I was unhappy. And I kept trying to change the way I did things without really changing the circumstances of what we know at all. And, of course, as you guys are working in the coach training, you know that you can only do so much work before there's actually a point where, you know, maybe you need to change the circumstances completely rather than just keep trying to do. I think it's, what is it, the definition of madness is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, that's what I was doing. So eventually I found this Benson Henry Institute, and I started understanding that I wasn't broken and that there was something fundamentally wrong with me. I was understanding that I was ignoring my body signals. And so I started my whole journey in the mind-body connection. I started understanding how my thoughts affected my feelings. I started understanding how the suppression of emotion and disconnection from my body sensations was creating sickness in my body. And I just kept going and going. You know, I found Martha's work. She said, she kind of pointed out, you know, she has a lot of mind-body tools, obviously. I started understanding how crisis, you know, my health was becoming a crisis because I was ignoring my larger vision of where I wanted to go. And then eventually I ended up doing this training, and I ended up working with Abigail Steidley in our Master Coach training. And she said something that completely changed the way I thought about things, which she talked about this concept of body dissociation and this idea that I was really good at thinking my feelings, but I wasn't very good at feeling them because I had deemed my body sort of hostile territory, and so I didn't want to experience my emotions and my sensations. And so she really helped introduce me to these tools and bring me more gently back into my body. So I only share that story because I think for many of us, at least for me, I felt a lot of shame that around the fact that I was overweight, that I was sick, that I couldn't make my job work. You know, I had so much shame around, you know, I wasn't working hard enough, and all these cultural and social messages had eventually created such sickness in me. And when I found other people who could raise their hand and say, oh, me too, I was totally there, it was tremendously healing. And I think ultimately I call it the healing power of me too, because there is such, you know, and this is what we learn, this is the whole point of coaching, is when there is this compassionate witness to hold a space for you, you can begin to recognize and play with ideas that maybe you don't need to hold on to those cultural or social belief systems that are keeping you sick and keeping you unwhole. So any questions about my story, or anybody want to say me too, the healing power of me too? Does anybody resonate or have a similar kind of story? Oh, no.
Hi.
Well, this is Tiffany.
Yeah.
I used to have Crohn's disease.
Yep.
And I guess I could relate that in some way to what you went through, where, you know, I had so much anxiety and I just stuffed it all down and it settled in my gut.
That's right. Yeah. Ulcerative colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, and Crohn's disease are all exacerbated by that sort of disconnection between mind and body. So thank you for not leaving me hanging. I feel healed. So You know, I think that, you know, that's really the whole point of this class is to help you guys begin to understand what it means, why it's important, and to start giving you some basic tools so that you can work with your clients. Because I think that for myself, I did myself a real disservice by only ever paying attention to my thoughts and my thinking without also going in and finding out the connection between my mind, the physical sensations in my body, so my mind activity, am I worrying, am I projecting into the future, fantasizing, am I ruminating, am I analyzing, you know, any mind activity that's just over and over, black and white thinking, catastrophizing, all of these mind activities, when I can begin to see and understand the connection between my mind activity, the emotion, right, we have four emotions, angry, sad, afraid and happy or content, and then any variation therein. And then that third component of our body sensations, we can begin to understand the full picture of our entire enteric nervous system, which is really the idea that they found the same neurons in our brain also exist around our heart and in our gut. That's why people get so sick, is because even though they aren't acknowledging the stress, it's being processed, you know, heartbreak. Why does our heart hurt when something very sad happens? Has anybody ever gotten a gut feeling on the phone? Anyone? Gut feeling? No?
I get the gut feeling all the time.
Yes.
So what happens when you ignore your gut feeling?
I'm always wrong.
Right? Trust your gut. And that's because they found that our system is connected in that way. So it's just about awareness, drawing that awareness, not just from our mental activity, but from our emotional activity and from our physical sensations. So we're going to spend some time doing Q&A, but I want to demo a couple of things, give you a couple of tools, and help sink you in. So for those of you that were experiencing some anxiousness, confusion, you know, some of the less pleasant type of sensations, let's go ahead and start bringing you back into your body. And so everything I'm going to do with you is there are things and tools that I use with my own clients. And often when I'm working with a client and we're about session where or start a portion of our session where we're going to do some work with like the, you know, naming a sensation or emotion and then using like the dream analysis tool on that body sensation, I will start by grounding them. And so lots of people have different grounding techniques. Because my client sessions are 60 minutes, I don't like to spend too much time grounding unless I know the client is very dissociated from their body and they really struggle with high anxiety, you know, their worriers, high mental activity. I will often slow them down using very simple grounding techniques in order to help them begin to connect in a way that they don't normally let themselves connect. So let's do it together. So some of you might be running around. Some of you might be in a car. Some of you might be, you know, drinking. I don't know. But what I'm going to encourage you to do is get into a place and to a position where you're comfortable, where you are as free from distractions as possible. And I'm just going to ask you to notice your feet. So if your legs are crossed, uncross them. And I want you to notice your feet. I want you to notice whatever surface they're resting on. If you're wearing socks, perhaps you can feel the softness or the scratchiness of your socks. If you're barefoot, perhaps you can feel a rug or the hardwood. Notice whatever sensations or feelings that come up in the feet as a result of the textures and surfaces you can feel. And once you've done that, I want you to imagine your feet are getting heavy. They're encased in concrete blocks or lead boots. which is probably more stylish. And I want you to notice your feet getting very heavy, and I want you to feel as if they are sinking down below the ground. They're keeping you grounded in the supportive energy of Mother Earth. And once you've done that, I want you to close your eyes, unless you're driving. Please don't. So close your eyes, and I want you to notice your hands. And I want you to pick up one hand, and I want you to hold it out in front of you. And I want you to ask your thinking mind, without opening my eyes, how do I know that my hand exists? And then I want you to bring up your second hand, holding both hands up at the same time, eyes closed. And I want you to begin to feel the inside of both hands at once. How do I know that both of my hands exist right now? Notice your breath. Let it do what it wants to do. And when you're done, you can put your hands down and open your eyes and come back to the room that you're in. And I'd love to check in. How are you feeling? What are you feeling right now? Who'd like to share first? What did you notice?
I can share. This is Dee Dee.
Great.
I don't feel anxious anymore. I feel I'm in my body more. I'm more present. I feel relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Dee Dee, if you had to go back to the moment, and I want you to really be observational as opposed to experiential, but observing the anxiety that you were experiencing before, what were you feeling underneath it? If you could name an emotion, sad, angry, afraid. What was underneath that anxiety? And it could be an and, by the way. It could be this and that.
Probably a little fearful and rushed.
Mm-hmm. So the rushed, what emotion exists around the rushed? Is that the fearfulness? Is that...
Mm-hmm.
So what were you afraid would happen?
That I wouldn't be ready for the call, that I wasn't on time. I didn't give myself time to relax before the call.
Mm-hmm. Good, because we were doing it on the call. Yeah, so that's what our mind activity is, right? That's that worrying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm late. I didn't give myself time to relax. I'm not going to be ready. Oh, my gosh. Did I miss something? Am I prepared? Right? It's that worrying.
Mm-hmm.
Worrying is living in a future that's never going to happen. And
mm-hmm.
so what we did together is we brought you back, and you said this word, I feel more present and relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to worry about. You're not late.
Yeah.
So just with that very simple tool, so grounding, did you notice anything when we grounded? Was there a difference in your energy level? And it's fine if there's nothing. It's like, no,
mm-hmm.
no big deal.
Yeah, no, I could feel the weight of my body. Yeah, I could feel in my legs and I could be in touch with all parts of my body.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then did what shifted for you, if anything, when you went into the hands? Did anything shift for you?
I could just feel heat in the palms of my hands.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Who else would like to share?
This is Rachel.
Yeah.
I noticed when I was holding my hands up that I couldn't feel them all. Like, I could only feel my palms and, like, part of my fingers, but not the full length of my fingers.
Okay. So, Rachel, let's do something. Everybody
okay.
can do this. So bring your hand back up. So close your eyes and bring your hand back up.
Okay.
You'll feel your feet again. You're going to feel them. They're heavy. And you're going to draw your attention up to your hand. I want you to pick a finger and see if you can feel into the full length of that finger. Just with your mind, not with your other hand.
Okay.
Maybe you wiggle it a little. Maybe you create a little bit of energy. Maybe you shift the way you hold your arm. Can you feel the full length of that finger now?
I can definitely feel it when I'm moving it around.
Okay. So good to know. Just interesting to notice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything. I have no idea why. I think it's just about awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But that might be something that you play with when you're feeling a little of anxiety, nervousness, whatever you might be experiencing. It might be an opportunity for you to play with, how can I feel the full length of my finger?
Do you think if you're feeling sort of generally resistant to the mind-body stuff, which I'm finding I am feeling, and I think it is probably because I'm pretty disassociated, but it's harder to get there because I have this resistance to it.
Sure. I think that's very, that's a great observation, Rachel. I think ultimately that is part of the sign of sort of that body dissociation, at least for me, is I was very, intellectualism, being smart.
Yeah, I'm sort of like, I can do the work with the Katie, the Byron Katie stuff,
yeah.
And the other stuff, I'm right there, but with the mind-body, I feel it's harder for me to even sort of believe in it.
Yeah, and that's usually because there have been messages somewhere in your life that being in your body is not safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it can just be, around. It could be something simple like, a parent telling you over and over, suck it up, quit being such a baby, get over it, it's no big deal, why are you crying? I mean, it can even,
mm-hmm.
something that simple. It's like, oh, it's not safe to be here and I shouldn't be feeling this. And so the way through that or sort of deepening that is, for me, the way I started was I just practiced by naming my emotions in a moment. So, like, right now, I'm feeling curious, which is a form of contentedness for me. So I feel happy. And so the question for you, and you don't have to answer this out loud, is, mm-hmm. what are you feeling? Sad, mad, angry, scared, sad, mad?
I find the body work in general makes me anxious.
Okay, so a feel underneath the anxiousness. What feeling does it bring up for you?
Fear.
Fear, right, okay. Congratulations, you just named an emotion.
Yeah.
I'm not making light of it. I mean, that's a
huge. Yeah.
So that's,
I find it confusing because this is like taking me off guard. I didn't know that I was going to have this resistance that I was going to,
Yeah, I feel like resistance is a gift. Place, when I resist something, it's the place that I often am meant to go. It's the place that I'm meant to go a little bit deeper. and find and show myself a little bit more compassion in the process. And so for you, maybe it's just a very simple practicing naming. And if you feel anxiety, okay, breathe, pause. What's underneath that anxiety? It tends to be fear, sadness, anger, some combination therein. It might be a sort of a melange of feelings. You know, there might be a bunch of them that are mixed together. And much like, can you feel the full length of your finger? Can you name each of the feelings you're feeling in that moment? If not, it's okay. No judgment.
And just the practice of doing it more will...
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you, and I'm really not exaggerating, when I first felt like a true hunger, Noel, that came from actual hunger and not emotional sort of spiritual hunger was a pretty big moment for me. Like, what is that feeling? Because I associated the gnawing of hunger with sort of the gnawing of fear, of anger, of sadness. And so they all felt the same to me. And so when I was able to start pulling them apart, because I just lumped them all the same thing, and so I just eat, because it's like, oh, I must be hungry. No, I was emotionally hungry. You know, I was emotionally in pain. So when I was able to...
So you just had, like, gnawing, and you didn't differentiate.
Oh, it was like, oh, must need food.
Mm-hmm.
Must need food. Or I'd avoid it. I'd, you know, play a video game like Candy Crush or play, or I'd go into fantasy. You know, I'd imagine a life where everything, there was for me, and so I'd imagine that. I'd go out basically from this present moment. And so it's really, and we're going to, part of the homework we have from this class, it's actually not homework, it's beginning to practice putting those elements together in a very non-judgmental, very curious, compassionate witness way to help you begin doing that practice. So how you doing, Rachel?
Yeah, I mean, good. I'm hanging in there.
Good, I like that. So... anybody else want to share any questions coming up for you as we've been talking with Dee Dee or Rachel?
Jessica?
Yeah.
This is Nikki. I actually had kind of an interesting experience I wanted to share and see if it's common, but I was doing a lot of the mind body, a few of the different tools, and I identified that I had a lot of tension in my chest, and I kind of sat there, really let the feeling go through me, and I thought that it was fear, and that's what I would have identified in my waking life, that was fear, and I was releasing it, and it felt very cathartic. Then that night, I actually had a dream where I expressed a lot of anger, in particular towards my mother, and I realized that what I thought in my waking hours I was feeling was fear, but it ended up being a lot of anger, and it came through quite strong in a dream. And I'm wondering, is that common that we would maybe identify it as something different in our waking hours and then almost release it and have like a dream of what it truly was?
Absolutely. You know, and we'll talk more about this in Practicum 3, Coach the Coach Practicum 3, but our dreams, our sleeping dreams, the reason they're often so vivid is because we are processing. I mean, the reason we remember, you know, they catch us so strongly is because it's our subconscious mind processing very fraught emotional circumstances in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're using that symbology of the dream. Well, you know, some people say that everything our heart is a dream, really, even when we're awake. And so you can use the symbology that way. And it is. It's very common for us to, because it's sometimes because it's, quote, safer, to interpret it as something, oh, I must have pulled a muscle. Versus, oh, I'm somatizing a deep anger against my mother.
Yeah.
I mean, or
yes,
or something,
yes.
You know, something else came up in our life. Have you processed it? Do you want to play with that tension, you know, through a little coaching?
I think it was really interesting. I really felt like I processed it. I sat with it probably, you know, between a half a minute and 2 minutes, and I felt a great release. And then it was just interesting that I had such a very strong dream about it, and it was like the message I needed to receive, and it did help me process. So I feel good where I'm at, but I just thought it was interesting how being, you know, waking and having a dream, I identified it so differently as, you know, fear
yeah.
versus anger.
Yeah, it's pretty common. And, you know, one thing that's true for women in particular culturally is that women, their sort of go-to emotion is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And often what's underneath the fear is anger.
Ah.
And for men, it's the opposite. They go to anger when they're really afraid.
Interesting.
So they get into that fight. I'm going to
yeah.
fight. We're going to go. And so they get very
yeah.
angry, and it's really because they're afraid. Not
yeah.
always, but it's sometimes it's good to notice some of those kinds of common cultural touchstones for emotions, because it helps us understand and make sense of you are identifying it as fear, and in reality, there was some deep anger that you wanted to process.
Yeah. The only, the one carryover that I thought about, and I think that you guys talked about in mind-body was, because it was interesting, I was talking to my friends about this, and they're like, so are you going to go assert yourself with your mother? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to, like, bring up a big thing. But it was interesting in that it's definitely my business, and, you know, I worked through it. But the interesting thing was then kind of what, you know, I feel more relaxed, but what do you do in the future that would, you know, not bring that anger into your body as much? And I don't know, as you have clients, would you explain that that's part of the process of letting that anger go, and then you could talk with them further about setting, you know, parameters with that individual? Or like, how would you counsel a client after they release some of that emotion and they process it, how to go forward?
Yeah, so for me, so if you were my client, we're going to talk
mm-hmm.
in specifics rather than generalities because I think it's helpful.
Okay.
What I would probably do is give you the practice that we're going to give for the assignment at the end of this class. I would give
okay.
you something similar. So I'd want you to practice grounding.
Mm-hmm.
So giving yourself space to get present in your body. I'd want you mm-hmm. to begin some noticing and awareness around the different parts of that body. And then I'd want you to
yeah.
practice, like I was sharing with Rachel, I'd want you to start practice naming your emotions.
Okay.
So, for example, an assignment I will give a client is I will say, pick a day, get your timer mm-hmm. on your smartphone. There's a really nice
mm-hmm.
meditation or an insight timer that I have, an app.
Yeah.
And set it to go off every 15 minutes for one day, or 30 minutes. I mean, depending on your life,
mm-hmm.
your job, et cetera. And
mm-hmm.
just make note
mm-hmm.
of the emotion you're experiencing in that moment. What am I
okay.
feeling right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have them begin practicing that over and over mm-hmm. again. And then, if for you, so for example, if there was some lingering, so do you mind sharing what the anger at your mom is about?
The people in my cohort will be familiar, but I, over the holidays, visited her, and there's just a very, very extreme push for me to have children, and I'm not necessarily ready for that. So I just kind of handle it intellectually, but it's manifesting as anger.
Okay. So there's anger. And what would you like to do differently in your relationship with your mother? If things were perfect.
I would say loving acceptance on both sides of our personal life decisions.
Okay. And so the way to practice loving self-acceptance, what does that look like for you?
That looks like being very calm, very present, not stubborn, just a huge sense of openness, curiosity, and understanding.
Perfect. Perfect. That's so the message of anger that I think is really important to remember is that anger is telling you that somebody has breached a boundary.
Mm.
And the thing about my business, your business, and God's business, or the universe's business, it's not for you to not speak your truth. It's not about, oh, well, I just need to roll over and do the work on my mother and run away, you know, or avoid it, or whatever it might be. It's really about what you just said, helping you get to a place of loving self and other acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And then deciding if there is a boundary that you can set with the other person,
mm-hmm.
so that your business can be your business. The
yeah.
way to start with that, though, is with experiencing and understanding the emotion. Because what happens is we don't want to act on hot emotion. We
mm-hmm.
want to act on cooled emotion. So cooled anger means, okay, she's violated a boundary. We've done our work. We've gotten clear. What is it? What is it that I actually want to be different?
Mm-hmm.
What truth am I not expressing that I would like to express?
Yep.
Does it feel safe for me to express this truth?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? Does it feel safe to express your truth with your mother?
No.
So good to know.
I would say, yeah. Yep.
Is there something that you can change within your control to help you feel safer in expressing your truth to your mother?
I would say not really bringing up the topic when I'm home as much.
Okay. And here's where I'd go if this were a real coaching session, which we can make it a real coaching
mm-hmm.
session is. Imagine, so you're going home for the holidays? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want you to, let's ground real quick. Is this okay? Cool to hang with me
yeah.
for a minute? Okay.
Sure.
I want you to ground, to feel your feet. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to project yourself into the day that you go home to visit family for the holidays.
Okay.
And I want you to describe to me your ideal family holiday, with special emphasis on we're not going to talk about a baby.
Sure.
So just tell me,
say,
and I want it to be very, like, what, describe the moment you walk in. What do you feel like? What is, how do you want to, well, so let's start with that. What are, how do you want to feel on this day? What are three things you want to feel?
I want to feel really calm. I want to feel excited for all the different activities going on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel just like curious about all the, you know, fun things to be doing with friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? How do you want to feel with your mom on that day?
I want to just feel like we are on the same page and that we're just kind of in a flow and not in a stubbornness of aggression, of fighting both of our opinions.
So no aggression.
No aggression and flow.
So flow. You want to feel like you two are connected and in the flow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So before you even walk into the house in your mind's eye, you know that you want to feel calm, excited about the experience of connecting with people, curious about all the fun
mm-hmm.
things that are going to be happening, and you want to feel in the flow and connected to your mom.
Mm-hmm.
What is one thing you can do before you even walk in that door, either in your mind's eye or for real,
mm-hmm.
help you get into this place?
For me,
like a little ritual or a technique or something.
Yeah. I actually, the best thing I typically do, which is a little funny, but this crowd will probably appreciate it, is I listen to YouTube videos from Eckhart Tolle and listen to his message and really meditate on it and breathe deeply several times before I enter the house. So I'll watch his videos.
Perfect. Okay. So you've done that before this day.
Mm-hmm.
You've listened to your mm-hmm. video, you're in the space, you're very clear about how you want to feel when you walk in there. Now, I want you to imagine opening the door, and what's the first thing that's going to happen for you?
Right away, my mom and dad give me a hug, and there's definitely excitement in the air, and it's actually very pleasant.
Mm-hmm. So then what happens?
Then there's typically, you know, kind of the catching up, and then there's the going deeper into the issue of whether or not I choose to have children.
Okay, but this is in your ideal holiday, so.
Okay.
So that's not going to happen.
ideally, we just, you know, we talk, we catch up, we watch a Christmas movie together, we have a cocktail, and it's very just calm and festive.
Great.
And I
don't
open that door.
And if somebody wants to open that door, what can you do?
I can acknowledge the topic, but then...
Okay, so let's back it up. So this is where we get out of our body and into our mind. I think this might be an opportunity for you. Is somebody broaches the topic, what's the first thing
mm-hmm.
you can do? Very first body-based response you can do.
I would take a few deep breaths right into my chest where I get the tension.
Three deep centering breaths.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Reset that autonomic nervous system response. Become aware of your body, noticing the tension in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe into it. And my suggestion from there, I think
mm-hmm.
once you get yourself back to center, because here's what I'm guessing is happening with you and your mom. The
mm-hmm.
moment she mentions it is you hold your breath, you tighten up, all of your muscles start contracting, you feel rigid, anger starts
mm-hmm.
to percolate.
Yep.
Fear comes in. Ooh, 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 don't get angry. It's not safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sadness, because you can't have the relationship with your mom that you want. Right? Story starts coming in.
Yeah.
And the thing is those are unconscious stories because they're coming so fast, but you know they're there because you can begin to feel the feelings.
Yeah.
And so my suggestion is before you get into that triggered place, we already
mm-hmm.
know that it's triggering for you. It has been.
Yep. Yep.
It's getting clear about what's happening in your body, what you're feeling, what it is you want to be experiencing, and then using all those tools as you go.
Okay.
You can also get out a good old-fashioned bingo card and do little dysfunctional family bingo with one of your friends here on the call.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And mom mentions baby within first 5 minutes of coming home.
Yeah.
Mom mentions baby within first hour of coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Mom mentions it again before dinner, right? Whatever you know her pattern is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my thought, Nikki, is that it's not going to be one magic bullet that's going to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do think I've never really thought about what my body is feeling in that moment.
Uh-huh.
And it's really interesting to think about that because on this one particular topic, my mom really likes to debate. And her debate is triggering, when I think about it, a lot of bodily emotions that I think the deep breathing and centering will very much help.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, some of the things you can do, so as you breathe and center, this is actually part of the fight, flight, or freeze response, is our body, our muscles actually become rigid because we need to be able to either fight or run.
Yes.
And so we have a muscle response that is actually, and so if you notice that's happening, what's going to happen is, this is true with debaters, is they're going to lean in.
Yeah.
They're going to want to engage you.
Yes.
So if you can feel your body in that moment, breathe. So everybody with me, let's all take a deep breath. And then you can do another one. And as you're doing that, notice how your muscles start to relax. Do one more. At the end of the third, you should start to feel your muscles relaxing and the contraction lessening. Your body should be leaning back instead of forward. And then from that more calm and centered place, you can take action. You can listen. You can practice a loving kindness meditation while she's lecturing you.
Yeah.
May she be well.
Mm-hmm.
May she be safe. May she be peaceful. May she be loved. Or you can say, you know what, Mom, I'm not going to have, whatever feels good, I'm not going to have the conversation. Would you like a drink? I know I need one. But it's, the key is catching it before you begin to engage from an unconscious place.
Yeah, okay.
And you can, you know, you've already been really clear about what you want the holiday to look like. Let's trust that can happen without you having to be on the defensive.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to be on defensive. You're going to be calm. The moment you walk in the door, you're going to listen to your Eckhart Tolle YouTube videos. You're going to be calm but excited. You're going to be curious. And you're going to feel, the moment you walk in the door, connected and in the flow with your mom.
Perfect.
And
great, thank you.
You can also have the dysfunctional family bingo in your purse if you need it. It's up to you. It's what's going to feel good for you as you go through. But my suggestion is, like, don't get too far ahead of yourself. Just have something that will help get you back to baseline as you need to.
Mm-hmm. Great.
That's mind body coaching right there. Very
simple.
Great. Thank you so much for volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't expecting that, huh?
Not totally, but it's very good coaching.
So as Nikki and I were talking, thank you, Nikki, I appreciate it. So any other questions? What's coming up for you guys as we go through and start talking about, I mean, it's very, very simple. It's not a complicated process.
So can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
What if your dissociation works for you?
Can you say more?
I mean, I think I related a lot to what you were saying before about being dissociated from your body, and but I find that right now I'm actually going through some health issues. I have to get some tests done, and so being dissociated from my body has, like, been very useful during these tests. A lot of them are very uncomfortable, and And even, I guess, during, like, the exercise before of, you know, being in the body, feeling different parts of your body, I think there was more discomfort for me being there than there was not. And I just wonder, like, if you have clients who actually feel that way, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge, is that the dissociation actually never works for us, but it's a coping mechanism. It's a way to decoy from experiencing what's going on in our body. So if you have chronic pain or if you have a tremendous amount of pain, I think there's a little bit of a difference between being dissociated. Well, there's actually quite a big difference between being dissociated from our body and then also being able to have healthy pain management and finding ways to be present in our body with the wisdom of it, while also helping to release tension that's a result of chronic pain. Because that's really, and I think we talked a little bit about this in the recordings. Who is this, by the way? I'm sorry.
Sorry, this is Aida.
Aida, okay. I just want to make sure I knew what I was talking to. So I think that's part of the way we, part of dissociation is we think it's working for us. But what happens is that we often then, through the dissociation, we actually end up being in, it takes more and more extreme messages of pain to catch our attention. And so it often means we ignore body sensations and responses that are very informative and helpful, that help us advocate for ourselves, stand up for ourselves, as opposed to, you know, letting that tension and that pain actually work against us. So what is something that's happening very particularly for you right now that we can give you a little bit of support with? I can give you a little bit of support with. So you mentioned tests.
Yeah, so I'm going through some tests right now to rule out uterine cancer, and I've had like a history of sexual abuse in the past, and so a lot of times when I'm going through these examinations, I really have to kind of just get out of my body to cope. And then the other thing is that, you know, during the exercise today, you know, I think when you were talking about being grounded, feeling your feet, and, you know, I've been having dreams where I'm angry with my husband and I'm trying to hit him, but my body just, my whole body feels like lead. And I can't, like, it just feels so powerless. And so I don't know how to cope with on at the present moment, like, with these tasks, getting through them, which I need to do, but then still trying to be present, like in a healthy way, because I've never had to do it. I mean, I also, like, when you were talking about binge eating,
yep.
I binge eat a lot, and that's the only way I feel anything in my body.
Yeah, I think that that's part of the challenge with the mind-body sort of syndrome, is that it feels kind of like an avalanche, like it's like a rolling snowball that just keeps gathering more and more. And so for me, and what I would suggest for you is, and thank you for sharing. I really appreciate it, by the way. I just want to make sure to acknowledge that. For me, it's actually, I would start you with doing very simple things. So for example, it's recognizing that you're not alone. And so is there a way that you can get some support to help better the experience so that you're not... So, I mean, that's why coaching is so powerful and so helpful, is helping you process those emotions and those big things within a container, a safe container with another person. So that's one thing I would recommend doing. So having a compassionate witness who can hear your story, who can not try and fix it for you, but can help you through it, I think is one thing. So I think that's one thing I would start to recommend for you, Ida. Are you? Do you have a coaching buddy, someone that you work with?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
Other thing is that I'm going to talk very practically about how you can get through this testing for potentially for uterine cancer. So one of the things that you can do. So are you? So first thing I'm going to ask is, are you breathing right now? Or are you holding your breath?
I'm actually holding my breath, yeah.
That's the first thing to notice, is that the moment we get into an uncomfortable situation when we are sharing intimately like this, or when we are about to put our legs into stirrups to have somebody start probing or poking around, is that we go in and we hold our breath. It's the very first thing. And so it may seem overly simplistic, but I would encourage you to recognize that that's actually the very first thing you can do and one of the most powerful. So just notice your breath. Can you feel it right now? Notice what your breath is doing. And I just want you to focus on your breath. You don't have to pay attention to any other part of your body other than breath.
I kind of feel like I'm on Mount Everest, like the air is like so thin, I'm having a hard time getting it in my body.
So that means usually that we're at the start of like a panic attack or an anxiety attack, is my guess. So just deepen the breath. You can actually direct the breath down to your belly and actually ask it to help you. So just send out that invitation to your belly. So while you're doing that, I want you to focus on the root of your tongue, and I want you to focus on relaxing it. Tell me are you noticing a difference in the tension?
Yeah, I felt like as soon as you mentioned relaxing my tongue, I noticed a huge difference in getting the breath in and out.
Yeah. So what happens when we go into that fight or flight response, because you're sharing something very intimately, you're imagining something uncomfortable, you're probably experiencing some discomfort. All makes sense separately, but when you put it together, ooh, overwhelm, okay. And so what happens is that's part of the response. And so it's just noticing. So perhaps when you go to your next appointment, when do you have your next appointment, sweetie?
So right now they've kind of put me on sort of like a chemical... they're trying to get stuff out chemically, and then they're going to go in with a probe on the 28th of December.
So here's my suggestion for you is let's not think about the 28th of December, because what I'm going to guess is going to happen for you is that's going to put you right back into fight or flight response. So we get into worry, we get into panic, we start to imagine something. Everything you need, you have right now, right on this phone. You've got me. You've got supportive system. Notice your breath. Bring yourself back to the present. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable talking about the 28th, or do you want to stay here with me right now?
Yeah, I think I can talk about it.
I want you to really listen to yourself, though, because you can also talk to me privately. Which would feel better for you right now?
I think maybe privately.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. So this is part of it for you, Aida, is learning to actually listen to that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to guess that's part of why it feels safer to dissociate, is you've probably never been given the invitation to really listen to your body and honor your body in a really safe way. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
So everything we do right now from this point forward is all about helping you feel into what your body is, the messages of your body. And if part of it is like safer to dissociate, let's just back up. Let's not go too far. Because I think that might be part of what happens is we want to be good students. We want to be good spouses. We want to be good mothers. We want to be good, good, good. We want to show up. We want to get an A. And that means that we ignore the blaring messages of our body and our emotions that are saying it's not safe, you don't feel good. And it's not to say that every time we get a little uncomfortable we should just stop. What I'm really saying is it's about listening and really understanding. And if everything has been like it's sort of like if every message is garbled, it's like a totally different language and you're not sure what it is, we have to back it up and start with the basics. We're learning a new vocabulary. So I don't want you to get ahead of where you are right now. Learning the language of your body is very different than, I'm guessing, tell me where I'm wrong, of course, different than any other thing you've ever done before or been given permission to do.
Yeah, no, that's right.
And so the one practice that I want you to do, and I'm actually going to suggest a slight modification for the homework for you, but I'll mention that separately. But not the homework, sorry, the practice. Is I just want you to practice noticing your breath and doing the three breaths. That's it. I don't want you to climb inside of your body. I don't want, unless it feels safe to you.
Mm.
Can you do that for me, or
do you work? Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So that's what's really important, too, with these tools, guys, is it's really important to listen to your client and to listen to what your body is telling you as well. So as I was listening to Aida, who shared very bravely, thank you, is I'm listening for a couple of keywords and a few things. And if I begin to feel short of breath, if I begin to feel a little bit anxious because of what she's telling me, chances are that that's also how she's feeling, which is why I ask. Those mirror neurons at work. It's us mirroring. It's like, you know, I'm feeling in myself what she's feeling as well, my empathic response. And so I'm listening to that, and I'm going to not just forge ahead with my intellect, oh, well, you know what you need to do, but just gently, question by question. And so that's why, rather than get into a big, long conversation here, I'm going to speak privately, because I could feel like that would be what I'd want, and I wanted to offer that as an invitation. And so it's important that you guys listen. The whole thing about the mind-body connection is that when we connect with our inner body, with our own body and its messages and our emotions, we're going to receive wisdom from a higher part of ourselves. Because that's what, we live it to give it, right? Because that's what we're going to do with our clients as well. I'm not going to push, and I'm not going to, because I don't feel good doing that right now. It doesn't feel like the right thing. Does that make sense, guys? Any questions?
No.
I will say, too, that, you know, certainly Aida's experience is a much more extreme experience than a lot of our clients will have, but she's not alone in that experience. Certainly not. I mean, look at Martha's own experience and how many of us know her own story and why she got into these tools. But she, you know, really all of us who've experienced trauma in this way, and it doesn't have to be extreme trauma. It can be like sexual abuse, a car accident, you know, major surgery. It doesn't have to be that kind of level of trauma. It can be other types of trauma. Any place where we begin to feel that it's not safe to feel our feelings or to be in our body, we're all going to have clients of that, and it's really about trusting your own inner and your own felt sense of your own body to begin to gauge what's appropriate in working with them. But part of it means that we do have to agree to experience some level of discomfort, because we're going to start feeling things that we're not used to feeling. And so there is going to be some level of discomfort. It's a willingness to be uncomfortable for just a little bit. I don't want you to go to a panic zone. I don't want you to start freaking out. That's not the level of discomfort I'm talking about. Go back to your safe place. That's fine. But just feeling a little bit uncomfortable can be, that's how we begin. It's like, I don't feel comfortable feeling angry. And so I eat. So I don't feel it. Okay, well, am I willing to feel a little bit of anger so that I can begin to heal the part of me that has used food as a weapon against myself? I had to be willing to experience some level of discomfort. Any questions? Anybody have anything else that's coming up that they'd like to talk about, share?
I have a question.
Okay, there's two people. So, Tiffany, I know you did have a question as well. So, Tiffany, and then who was the other person?
Sarah.
Okay. So, Sarah, I heard you first, and then Tiffany will, I'll talk with you next. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great.
Great.
So, my question is very similar to, I'm so sorry I don't remember your name, but thank you for sharing. Who just shared?
Aida.
Aida, yes. Thank you for sharing, Aida. And very similarly, I'm actually with my husband currently doing a lot of this with a couples therapist, a lot of body work around incestual abuse as a child. And he's on board, and it's really wonderful and going well with our therapist. But when we're alone doing the exercises, you know, the very very simple ones. They seem very basic, but it can be very overwhelming. And what's happening is, as he and I are inch by inch getting closer and me feeling closer and safer, in my dreams, I'm having very strong, vivid dreams about me being with, and it'll be different every day, but different men, like I'm supposed to be with someone else. And as I'm getting closer, those are growing in terms of how vivid and how strong they are. So I feel a bit crazy with this, because I feel in my day-to-day life much closer and safer. And then in my dream world, the exact opposite. So I'm just not sure what to do with that while I'm doing
this work.
I would
analyze the dreams.
Okay.
Because here's my hunch for you. This is Sarah, right?
Yes.
So my hunch for you, Sarah, is that what you think the symbols are in the dream and what they actually are going to be quite different.
Okay.
And this is kind of what we were talking about at the top of the call. I think it was, who was dreaming? Was it Nikki or Rachel? I can't remember.
It was me, Nikki.
Right. Okay. Thank you. So it's the same thing with Nikki. It's like what you think your dreams mean and what they actually mean are often quite different. Oh, it was the tension. That's right. So my suggestion, and it's a shame that we don't have, I don't know when they post it, the resources for Coach the Coach 3, but if somebody feels comfortable doing the dream analysis,
mm-hmm.
I would get, and maybe you can ask another coach, you know, someone who's been trained in it. But I would start to analyze the dreams. So I would start right now by writing them down.
Okay, just keeping track of all of them.
Yeah, keep very clear track, because when you get to Coach the Coach 3, you're going to have tons of opportunity. And we actually release, you know, materials a few weeks ahead of time, so you'll have access sooner. But I feel like what's happening for you is that as you are processing your emotions consciously, deeper emotions in your subconscious are also trying to work themselves out. And what you can begin to do through the dream analysis is you can help that process by along by bringing the work that your subconscious is doing into your consciousness. Because I think you're doing the work. It's happening. But I think it's like it's speeding up sort of the – it's intensifying, not speeding up, but intensifying the symbology. Because the men in those dreams that you're having are probably not other men. It might be aspects of your – well, they're all aspects of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So they are symbolically representative of something within you.
I see. Because thank you for sharing that, because what I'm doing, because I haven't done any of this work, is taking everything very literally, which is then terrifying me and telling me, stop doing this body work because look at what's going to happen.
No, keep doing this body work because what's happening is you're healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so my hunch is that, and I don't know for sure, this is just based on my experience and what you're sharing, my hunch is that your subconscious mind is like connecting and processing the subconscious mind, sort of the trauma and the emotions, and it's doing it in a way that your conscious mind is trying to be too literal about, but that it's actually deepening what you're doing consciously. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much. Thank you so much for sharing that with me.
So please keep a dream journal. And I don't know who you have for Coach the Coach 3. It could be me. But keep a dream journal because you're going to want to – because even if you process them weeks later, you're still going to get a lot out of them.
Okay, great.
You'll be good. You'll be good.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's actually very, very exciting when I hear that. Because it means
it is.
Well, it usually means you're on sort of this precipice of a breakthrough.
Okay.
And your night dreams become very vivid, it usually means you're in the process of moving into a dreaming and scheming phase. So you're moving out of you're getting clarity around your identity and who you are and what you want to be when you grow up.
Okay. Good. Well, that's encouraging. Thank you.
The challenge is then we create the story around, oh my God. I mean, if I interpreted every dream where there was another man in it that wasn't my husband as me needing to leave my husband, I would have left my husband years ago. And I would be happy with Christian Bale someplace in Hollywood.
Right. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. More information than you needed to know about me, but there you go. So, Tiffany, what's going on? So let's talk about your question. You had a question on the forum, but you have another question now. So you decide which.
Well, I guess they kind of relate to each other in some ways. The question that came up now is, you know, you were talking about we need to be willing to experience at least some discomfort when we're working through situations or whatever, possibly. So I have a lot of anxiety, like, in regards to spending any time with my family at all. And so I guess my question is that my essential self telling me, okay, I need to set boundaries, this isn't healthy for me, or is it because I'm going into fight or flight and freaking out?
Yes. Well, so I want to be really clear. Being willing to experience discomfort, I mean in terms of climbing back into your body, in terms of feeling the sensations in your body, in terms of feeling your emotions. I'm not suggesting that you put yourself into a position where you ignore your body so that you can then be uncomfortable with people who your essential self knows aren't good for you. It's a very different thing. So it's sort of like I want you to practice feeling the discomfort of being in your body so that you can learn to interpret the signs more quickly so that you know that your family is not where you want to be at.
Okay.
But I'm not saying you shouldn't be with your – I mean, I happen to know a little bit of your story separately. But
right.
So in terms of your family, what would you rather do? What do you think you should do, and what would you rather do?
I guess when you say what I think I should do, that would be more of like my social self, and I should you know, spend time with them, even if it's not much, because I'm, you know, the daughter, the sister, whatever.
Okay.
But my essential self is like screaming, no, no, no.
Okay. So when you imagine spending 5 minutes with your family, does that feel shackles on or shackles off? Really sit with it.
Okay.
Five minutes. Shackles on or shackles off?
With certain family members, shackled on, with others, shackled off.
Good. Okay. So you've just given me a really important piece of information. And yourself, by the way. This isn't about me, but about you. As a coach, you've given me important information with certain people. So that means that I picked something that was too big for you, for us to tune. So who feels shackles off for 5 minutes?
One of my brothers.
One brother feels shackles off, and everybody else feels shackles on.
I could say two of my brothers, I guess. I have four brothers, no sisters, so I could say two of my brothers.
Okay, but tell me the difference between those two brothers. So what's brother one? What's his name? Or give me an
initial.
What's
his name?
Yeah.
E.
E?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and brother two? Initial?
E.
Oh, can you give me two letters? Wait, are they two, both E, like as in Edgar?
Okay, it's Eric and Tyler.
Oh, T. I thought you said T.
Yeah.
So Tom and Edgar. Okay, we're going to call Tom and Edgar. Great. So imagine spending time with Edgar.
Okay.
Shackles on or shackles off? 5 minutes.
Shackles off unless his wife is there.
Aha. Another good thing. So Tom, 5 minutes, shackles on, shackles off.
Hmm.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
It could be neutral. It could be a neutral feeling.
Yeah. It's more neutral, and I actually got more of a shackled off feeling with his wife.
Okay. So this is what I'd suggest you do, is I'd suggest that you start getting really clear about individuals, timelines. The reason I'm picking time is because sometimes when we think about spending, quote, the holidays with our family, think about all the baggage that brings with it. It's multiple hours. Like, we bring all of this history with us, multiple hours, multiple people, right? It's just there's all the variables get lumped into one giant unpleasant situation. And so what I suggest doing is using your body compass, which is a form of mind-body work, and rather than being just like shackles on, shackles off for the entire situation, get clear about what you're really talking about. This is not because I'm telling you you need to spend time with your family on the holidays. This is to help you begin the discernment process, so that you're very clear about who you feel safe with, who you don't feel safe with, and then begin to give you some ways, like, well, how can you, you know, do you want to just bag it like you don't see your family? Do you want to better it, which is you play dysfunctional family bingo, you do something else, or we can't really barter your family unless you hire an impersonator. But it's so cool.
Well, they do have that hire a mom thing.
Perfect. So maybe that's what you need to do, is you need to hire a mom and we'll just come over and cook for you. But you see what I'm saying is, like, I think what's happening for you is you're bringing all of the baggage that you have around your family up mm-hmm. in one giant thing. And if you're really trying to get to that level of discernment, which is what I'm hearing you're trying to do,
yeah,
get very, very specific.
Okay.
And then honor it. Or don't. And if you don't honor it, know that you're not honoring it and why. And it might, and it doesn't mean you're bad or that, you know, if you go spend time with your family, nobody on this phone is going to judge you. Well, I don't know. Somebody might. I'm not going to judge you. I'm just going to ask you why. Why did you decide to go or do that thing? Because it's all just information. There's no failure here. It's just feedback. It's like, well, I went through the process and I figured it out and I was still scared and I felt like it was just easier for me to go than not to go, right? It might be something like that.
Right.
Or once I broke down all the parts and pieces, I actually realized that I really just don't like, you know, my one brother, and so I chose to him by spending time with Edgar and Tom's wife.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's where we're leading to.
Okay.
Does that feel manageable, Tiffany?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Cool. And then you had a question on the forum that I wanted to answer.
I'd love that.
Annalie actually responded as well, and she was right, which is trauma response. So shaking is a form of trauma release.
Okay.
And it's very common that if you're releasing trauma that you'll begin to shake. I mean, think about animals when they're scared, their jaws will chatter and they'll shake. And when my dog is freaked out and she's trying to release it, she'll give her body a shake. So that's a very healthy response. What didn't sound healthy to me is that you didn't feel safe. Not that it sounded unhealthy, but the fact that you didn't feel safe,
mm-hmm.
which to me is a very clear sign that maybe you need to work with someone else or speak to
right.
the person about it and say, hey, that's not cool. And also, I think it's just, can you remind me was it a therapist?
It was another massage therapist, yes, and I never went back to her after that.
And then you had someone, was it someone who told you it sounded like they weren't good or something? What was the, oh, here it is.
Well, I had an instructor from school that did cranial sacral therapy, and his philosophy is if it's that big of a reaction, you're actually re-traumatizing the person rather than
That's
helping them.
I would put a caveat there. I actually don't think it's re-traumatizing, except that you didn't know what was happening and you didn't have a safe person to guide you through it. That's what's re-traumatizing, not the release
okay.
itself. See, 3 days after, 3 days afterwards is not uncommon.
Okay.
Trauma, very significant trauma release, and you'll David Berselli is a wonderful leader in this area, and he has a technique called TRE, which I believe is trauma release exercise or something like that. And it's not uncommon for there to feel some level of sickness. It's like, you know, when you do deep tissue massage for someone, you say drink lots
uh-huh.
of water.
Yeah.
That's because you're releasing somatized trauma in their body, right, and toxins and so there's some level of feeling sick.
Right.
But the fact that you didn't feel safe and you felt uncomfortable, that is the concern for me.
Okay.
Not the release itself. It's that you were not taken care of.
Yeah.
And that's just usually a lack of either education or awareness on the provider's part.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean she's a bad person as much as she just didn't know how powerful she was.
Right, yeah. I
and
can
wasn't
see that.
Prepared. Yeah. Does that help, Tiffany?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank you. Because I guess I just, because I kept thinking it was re-traumatizing me that the release was not
right.
only ineffective, but bad.
So that's, so, notice where your story comes in.
Yeah.
You felt discomfort, and so you created a new story that it was bad rather than, maybe there's something else here. Maybe that she just didn't know what she was doing.
Right.
but maybe I release something good. I don't know. But you see what I'm saying? It's like watch where one story just becomes another story.
Yep.
So we're at the end of our time. I can't believe how fast that went. I'm always like, oh, my God, are we going to fill this whole time? And then we always do, and I'm so surprising. Maybe next time I won't be so surprised. Any final questions or things that you need me to address live that are pressing?
Can I ask a question? This is Dee Dee.
Sure.
Where is there more information on the dream analysis?
So, as I shared, it won't be released until the first class of Coach the Coach 1. You can read ahead.
Sorry.
You can no, that's fine. You can read ahead and find it in your binder, but it is in Coach the Coach 3, Practicum 1.
Okay.
The recordings won't be released until a few weeks before that class starts. And it's also in Steering by Starlight, but note that she's changed the way she does it. And so I think one of the resources you'll get is like her new dream journal. So I would suggest reading ahead rather than going into Steering by Starlight because it's a little – she's updated it.
Okay.
Well, actually, we've all updated
Thank
it.
You.
She updated it, and then we extended it. So more information will come, but you can certainly read ahead. So thank you.
Okay.
So it's fascinating. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the practice that we want you to do. So over the next month, we want you to practice keeping a self-observation journal. And this is about helping you live it to give it so that you can begin doing some of this work with your clients more confidently. So you're going to want to have a watch or a timer and a journal. And I'm going to put all this on your form, but I just want to cover it. And you're going to get a journal that's any size, any shape, whatever you need. But the key is that you're really just going to focus, you're going to get into that space of curious observer or compassionate witness with yourself. And you're going to start out by asking three basic questions that's going to help deepen that mind-body awareness. And I'll tell you what the questions are in a moment. But what you're going to do is you're going to set the timer. It's going to check you. You're going to check in at least 2 to 5 times daily. It's going to take you no more than a minute to complete it. But the process itself is this. So the timer goes off. You take 3 deep breaths and ground and then take your 3 deep breaths. And you're going to ask these questions. What is my mind doing right now? Racing, analyzing, ruminating, catastrophizing, things like that, fantasizing, whatever. What emotion am I feeling right now? Sad, angry, happy, afraid, or variations thereof. What body sensations am I feeling right now and where? Write those observations, the answers to those questions, and then the observations that you have 2 to 5 times each day over the next month. You can also do a daily climb back into the body or a path of stillness and do any observations that arrive. And then on the date of that I'm going to be posting in a month, I'm going to start a forum thread and you're going to give me no more than 100 word recap of your experience. So here's what I'm going to say is that I'm not great at doing something every single day for a month, and I'm okay with that about myself. For me, it was about doing it as often as I could, creating some level of structure, checking in, and then not beating myself up if I missed it, but also not giving myself a pass to not do the work, to be like, I just couldn't do it. I was too busy, right? I needed to be on to myself long enough to know I'm avoiding something. I'm avoiding discomfort. So let yourself not be perfect, but also challenge yourself to do this as often as you can. A variation that I'm going to recommend for those of you that do have significant trauma is just practice the first two which is asking yourself, what's my mind doing and what emotion I'm feeling. If you have chronic pain, if you have serious, you know, issues going on, like for you, Aida, you don't need to climb back inside your body all the time, but at least practice noticing what your mind is doing and practice naming an emotion and breathing. Everybody else, go ahead and try to do all three. Any questions on that? Again, I'll be posting it, so if you missed it, don't worry. All right. Final questions, comments, anything from anybody? Okay, good. So Dee Dee, Rachel, Nikki, Aida, Sarah, Tiffany, thank you so much for getting a little bit of coaching on the call. Thank you for the rest of you for holding a space. It's just as important as volunteering as being there and being present. If you have anything that comes up, let me know. Aida, I'll be checking in with you offline. If you do need to email me privately with questions or concerns that you don't feel comfortable sharing on the forum, you can do so at jsteward, STEWARD as in David, at marthabeck.com. Otherwise, thank you so much, and I will connect with you guys in a month. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye.